Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominic Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry, I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mike, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome, everybody, to I'll Hang Up and Listen. After a day where we all rejoiced as Sabres fans after the much-anticipated Devon Levi signing to a 3-year entry-level contract, the Sabres lay an absolute fucking turd in Philadelphia, lose 5-2, and not a lot of controversy, but some very questionable lineup decisions going into this one. Tyson Jost and J.J. Paterka out for Victor Olofsson and Vinny Hinostroza. And just now, well, just about 10 minutes ago, Don Granato was asked, you know, why that decision was made. And he said, you know, you just can't keep capable guys out of the lineup. You need to keep guys fresh. Maybe that flies with other teams when you're comfortably in a playoff spot, Don, but when every point matters and you need to put the best team you can possibly put on the ice, you put the best team you possibly can on the ice. And I'm sorry, I don't care if Victor Olofsson scored twice tonight or not. I mean, that last goal, it was in a scramble in front on, I think it was a 2-man advantage. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to justify just because he scored twice tonight. We're not going to sit here and justify Victor Olofsson being in tonight's lineup. He stunk. He stinks. I mean, Vinny is a guy you can plug and play for one or two games at a time throughout the year. He is not a consistent member of your lineup. There is a reason why he was waived to go to Rochester. There's a reason why he has been in Rochester all season. And it's not, and there's no justification for playing him over JJ. There's just none, none whatsoever. A lot to be angry about tonight. And I'm honestly, normally I'll pull up the box score. Normally, I'll sit here and go through the game line for line. I'm not doing that tonight. The effort was so bad. I just, you know, another game where you leave your goalie out to dry. Not on Andy at all tonight. I'm sorry, it's not. And anybody watching that game who wants to put blame on Anderson, you're out of your mind. They left him out to dry. Again, more puck watching. I'll bring up the one most critical one. On none other than Jacob Bryson in front of the net on the Van Riemsdyk goal. He has Van Riemsdyk on his hip, and instead of just picking his guy up, tying him up, really doing anything productive, he lets him just stay there and tap that puck by Anderson. Inexcusable, man. I'm just so sick of watching just this team be so, lack so much awareness on their own end. It's so infuriating. And I've always been so emotionally invested in this hockey team, you know, for so long. And I let things like this really ruin a night. You know, I'm not a big drinker. I'm not out for St. Paddy's Day. Like, that's just not my style. But I mean, I need a few drinks after watching that, because that's despicable. That was a joke. I mean, how consistently, you go back to the Chicago game, the Columbus game, this game, the Dallas game. How like in 3 of those 4 teams that I just named are bad hockey teams, really bad teams, and you just don't show up. You don't show up. You didn't show up. Like, again, against a team that's below you in the standings that you need to beat. You need these 2 points. You can't settle for one. You need both. And you don't show up. And you take 3 points out of a possible 6 on this road trip. That is in-fucking-excusable. Inexcusable. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this BS about having to keep guys fresh when you need to win. Olofsson has proven throughout the year he does not give you the best chance to win. He has scored, before this, he scored 1 goal in the last like 13 or 14 games. Paterka has at least like 5 points in his last 7, and he plays with energy and speed, and he creates chances for himself and for others, and you scratch him? Like, it makes no sense. I was really holding out hope, not hoping that a guy's injured, but maybe it's just like a maintenance thing, like maybe a pulled muscle, something. No, like, that says there's no excuse for it. And I'm done fucking yelling about it. I'm done yelling about it because that is all on coaching. That's all on coaching. It just is. Granato's got to eat this one. He's got to wear it tonight. 100%. Mauricio, you never fail me. Why did Granato change up lineup rosters? Everyone seemed disconnected. Team lacked energy, push, physicality. 13 years and counting lost seasons. Tank. Granato is being told to lose better draft pick. Thanks, Pagulas. Chris, friend of the program. First line 2 games in a row is invisible. Bryson is a goof. I was hoping Brendan Lemieux was going to kill him. Coaching needs to stop playing October hockey. It's March and you're in a playoff race. That's a very good point. That's a very good point, Chris. I like that point a lot. You're playing October hockey in March and you shouldn't be. I couldn't agree with that more. More from Mauricio. Too many turnovers. Poor puck management. Odd man rushes. Poor defensive play. Lack of awareness. High danger scoring chances all year long. Can't defend. Can't protect front of the net. Yeah, it's not new. It's not new. Like, it's something we've literally been dealing with all season. And it's not like for a lack of ability. It's like, who, as a defenseman, like, you're taught that, you know, don't look at the puck. When a guy comes in at one of you, don't look down at the puck. You stare at their eyes, you stare at their hips and their shoulders, you keep them square to you. Don't even look at the puck. And keep your stick in front of you in the lane. In front of the net, don't look at the puck. Find a man, tie him up. That guy was on Bryson's hip, and he just let him by. He let him by again. It's just, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Play of the first line, the play of your top line the past 2 games, but absolutely gross. These are the kind of games you should win. Instead, you drop a big fucking stinker. These are the times I ask myself, why do I bother putting myself through this year after year with Buffalo? Fuck. I mean, brighter days are ahead, 100%. We all know it. But, like, I want to end the drought this year, not next. You know what I mean? I want games that continue to be meaningful. Granato is being told to lose. I mean, I don't know about that. Maybe. I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist. Look tired. I think they're both. I think Dahlin and Tage are still both hurt. Excuse me, guys. Ishy back. I think they're both playing through injuries right now, 100%. Tage, since, I mean, he's still playing at a point per game pace since the All-Star break, but, I mean, he has not looked like the same guy. He just doesn't, to me, at least. Dahlin is definitely injured. I mean, he came back from that ankle. I forget what type of, was lower body injury. I don't know what it was. Came back fairly quickly. I think he understood the urgency to play right now, that he can't afford to miss games. And I think he's playing through some pain right now. Same thing with Tage as well. You know, I'm going to bring it up here real quick. The one play I'm talking about, I did one of my classic I took the video of the game as it was playing, and I just can't believe what I was watching. It was just like, this is just hockey defense 101 stuff. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, head on a swivel. You have to realize who's around you. You have to be aware of who's around you. Let me see if I can find the video. Let me see. One second here, guys. I apologize. I'm going to bring it right up here in one moment. Because, again, it's just inexcusable play. inexcusable play. Here we go. Nope. Where is it? Here you go. I'm going to pull this up right now. And we could all listen to me yell in the video. So share screen. Window. Hold on.
He's tying a guy up.
Right here. There we go. Share it. Boom.
All right, guys. Here comes like another example of why Bryson can no longer be on this team next year.
He's on his hip. He's on his fucking hip, and he's staring.
Tie him up. What is so hard about taking a stick? Just tying a guy up. This team is incapable of doing this. It is so infuriating. Like, right here. Stop puck watching. Find your man. He's right there on your hip. Tie him up. All right, guys. Here comes, like, another example of why.
I just you can't excuse that stuff, guys. You can't. Like, he's on your hip. He's literally on your hip, and you're staring down at the puck. I mean, do you not have peripheral vision? Can you not see him sitting there, like, right on your hip? It's just inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable, and I'm just sick of watching this just lack of awareness in your own end. It's killing this team. It really is. It's killing this team as much as your inconsistent goaltending. And tonight wasn't on goaltending in the slightest. So, again, I don't know where to go from here. Am I off the bandwagon? No, I'm not off the bandwagon until they're mathematically out. But, I mean, today was a backbreaker, man. For a team that you're supposed to be better playing on the road, play better on the road, like, tonight was a real backbreaker. You needed to take 5 out of 6 points on this road trip. And to walk away with 3 is just, it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. Anderson didn't play well, looked lackluster, lack of flexible. He's 41, Mauricio. Like, he's trying out there, but you left him out to dry. That play right there, you left him out to dry. Like, I would say 4 out of those 5 goals he didn't stand a chance on. Just didn't. Like, we got to stop holding this these goaltenders, especially like Anderson, to the standards we did back with Miller and Dom. Like, it's just like these guys, he's 41. You have to play better than that in front of your 41-year-old goaltender. You just have to. He's top 6 in the league in save percentage right now. Top 6. He has been better than average for you all year long. You cannot afford to play like that in front of a 41-year-old goaltender. You just can't. Bryson is a broken record, poor performance, poor play, inconsistent, lack size, no physicality, no intimidation. I agree. You just can't justify having him on this team next year. Same thing with Olofsson, man. Like, you know, I was willing to, you know, to defend Olofsson at certain points this year because you just can't replace a 30-goal scorer easily. Like, we make it seem so easy. We just don't. But he's a minus 22 before tonight. Yeah, sure, he has 26 goals in the season. But you want any points that equates to? 35. He is a 26-goal scorer, but only 35 points with how many games left in the season? We're at game 68, 69. I mean, that's what, 13 games left in the year? 13? Like, he might not break 40 points. You may have a guy who has 30 goals on this team, not even touch 40 points. If he doesn't collect another assist all season and still scores 30, he will not even hit 40 points on the year. I mean, I hope he gets 30 goals because that means you sell high on him in the offseason and hope somebody like Philadelphia, I'm sorry, they don't have Chuck Fletcher anymore to make that deal. You hope some team out there is desperate enough for a goal scorer, a guy who could perform on your power play unit and is willing to give you maybe I would say normally you get a first round pick from a 30 goal scorer, but I don't know if that's the case in this situation because of how bad he is, you know, everywhere else on the ice. Like, I don't know if he gets you a first round pick, a second round pick. Sure. I don't know if Victor Olofsson gets you a first round pick. I just don't. And I mean, I would take, I would take two Gergensons over friggin', you know what I mean? I would take two Gergensons over Olofsson right now. I would take two Peyton Krebs. I would take two Casey Mittelstats over one Olofsson. Like, you just can't justify to me this guy being on this team next year. He hurts you. He hurts you more than he helps you. Like, right now, you need him scoring at that clip that he's capable of scoring at. But I think he does have three goals in those four games. But they're useless goals. They're meaningless goals because you're not putting the right team out there on the ice. And when they and the team that is out there, they're not competing. They're not showing up. It's gross, man. The lack of effort and the lack of urgency. It's just like, play with some fucking nuts out there. Jesus. Don Spiraza, this is absolutely no defensive awareness at all. Also, we make no freaking moves during the trade deadline. I expect to do well. I don't understand the fear of making moves. This is why we're out of it. Yeah, I mean, I think the plan was to not falter away from the development of your talent you have now, but I've always been on the wagon of you had the ability to do both. You just did. You really did. You could have stuck to the plan and still develop the future. I mean, I'm not giving up on Jordan Greenway this easily. Like, I mean, it's not like you went out and got Patty Kane, a guy you expect to contribute immediately. But the areas you want Jordan Greenway to contribute in, like the physical side of the game, he hasn't really done that much yet. You hope that he does. But Jordan Greenway, except for maybe one or two games, has been kind of invisible out there. I'm not going to give up on him. I mean, he's on a new team and a new culture, new coach. It might take a while for him to adjust. But the things that we wanted to see out of him from the physical standpoint, it just really hasn't been there yet. I hope that changes. But yeah, the Riley Stillman, that move isn't good enough. It just isn't. You know, defensively, I mean, you know, and now that you've locked up Devin Levi, you know, on an entry-level deal, and I would expect him to get games this year, and I would expect him to be much in, you know, not he's not going to be in Rochester next year, I don't think. That's for sure. You know, now that you've locked him up, you have to address your blue line. You just have to. You can't go out and make another Labushkin deal. You can't go out and make another – I think Riley Stillman's going to be the solution. You have to go find a guy to play with Owen Power. You know, you need your top four to be Dahlin, Samuelson, Power, and fill in the blank, whoever that might be, because you cannot justify not, you know, running this same defensive corpse back again. There is no fucking way, man. No way. No way. And Riley Stillman ain't it, man. He's just not. He's not the guy. You know, maybe he brings you some hit, some physical presence on your blue line, but he's a bottom pair / seventh defenseman. It's just what he is. You know, that's what he always has been. You can't run it back like this again. You have to find a solution, whether in free agency and trade, and you can't afford to have Bryson on this team again. He's a Rochester guy through and through. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sure he's a good guy. I'm sure he's in the locker room, but you don't get points for being a nice guy. And I think it's about time to start having the conversation about Kyle Okposo. I love Kyle as a captain. I think he's been a great leader for this team. But I hope, honestly, personally, I don't want them to bring him back on even a one-year deal. He's got to take a step away. I think his career is over after this season. I hate to say it. I'm not going to sit here and – because I still think he's a capable player, but he's just so far behind the play a lot of the time. And I understand that he adds so much leadership and he's a great captain and he's a great guy to have around the youth of this team. But I mean, unless you're completely overhauling other parts of your roster, I just don't know if you can justify bringing back Kyle Okposo. It's just me. I don't think you can. Another comment here. Team is full of excuses, justifications. Where is the accountability? Find a top four defenseman, defensive minded centerman, a goaltender. Bryson needs to be cut tomorrow. I don't agree. I mean, I don't disagree. Sorry. No urgency, no emergency, no drive. No one cares enough. Coach, GM, show some pride. I agree. Retire, cut Anderson, Okposo, Olofsson, and Bryson, please. I mean, they're not going to cut Anderson. He's here for the rest of the season. You don't disrespect a guy like that who's done a lot in this league and, you know, obviously means a lot in that locker room. But, I mean, next year, he's not back. I'm it's hard for me to say you bring Okposo back. I love him, but I don't think you can give him another roster spot on this team and hold it away from a guy like maybe it's Savoy or Kulik or whoever it might be, or somebody maybe via free agency or trade. Like, I there's nothing he's really shown me on the ice this year consistently enough that you can sit here and say, like, yeah, he needs to be back next year. And he needs to be your captain. He's been a good captain this year. I think he's helped in a lot of ways, and he's helped, you know, the youth and help these players learn how to be a professional and how to play at this level and what you need to do, especially off the ice, to play at this level. But he's always step or two behind the play. And I just don't see them running him back next year. But outside of that, man, I mean, I don't have a lot left to offer on tonight's game. Depressing. So depressing. I still didn't turn it off. I should have. Especially after going down 4-0. A lot of games this year, even being down 2 or 3 goals, you still find faith that they'll find a way to claw or scratch their way and make it an interesting game. But that wasn't the case tonight. You could tell right from the jump, man. Like, they didn't show up. They didn't show up. So, remember, guys, been brought to you by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case over on George Urban Boulevard. Don't haste. Go buy a case for all your Sabres game day, game night needs, and your March Madness needs. March Madness, big upset tonight over Purdue. Number one ranked team falling to, I don't even know the team, but I saw highlights and it was wild. Saw broken whiteboards and locker rooms and, you know, a team that didn't show up to against a team that did show up and played for the moment and upset a number one ranked team in the nation. Sabres, you know, fail again to play for the moment. Adam's family should have traded or signed a defenseman and goaltender. Definitely a defenseman, without a doubt. And, it's gross. It's absolutely gross. I don't know. And just, you know, you got your coach justifying playing guys who are inconsistent and just lack the skill. And I'm not saying, you know, IQ for one of them. And yet you keep out guys that are beneficial to your lineup every night. Jost, after having that beautiful goal, after a line that I thought gelled well together with Casey Mittelstadt. And then Paterka back on the kids line with Quinn and Cousins, and they were producing, they were creating chances. I mean, they didn't win. They only got a point out of it, but I think JJ Paterka has been noticeably one of the better players on the team over the last stretch of games. And I just don't know how you justify keeping those two out. So I apologize, guys. Yep. 3 losses in a row. Bruins next game, next loss. I mean, I hope not. I really hope not. I'm also sick of hearing from the Sabres about how nice guys playing simple, not following the game plan. Excuses. We have to man up and play some grit and actually fight back. Yeah, Peyton Krebs can't just be the only guy always being that ball of energy and, you know, being the physical guy and getting in the scrums. Like, you know, I'm not going to say his team needs a Nick Delorier, but Nick Delorier, like, he serves a purpose for Philly. I mean, it's a losing team, but teams value guys like him. Guys like Keegan Kolasar, you know, guys like Boone Jenner. You need guys like that, like Marcus Foligno, Nick Foligno, guys who play with an edge, who can put a puck in the net every once in a while, like guys who, you know, really fill that leadership role that you're looking for, but are very capable on the ice. So you need guys like that, and the Sabres lack that right now. And hopefully they address it in the offseason. I really, really hope so. This has been I'll Hang Up and Listen. I am Dwayne from Two Goalies, One Mike, brought to you by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case. You guys have a good night. This is a short one, just under a half hour. Enjoy the night. Go Sabres. And so happy Devin Levi watch is officially over. Here's the future, and we'll see the Bruins soon. You guys have a good night and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, everybody. This is Dwayne from Two Goalies, One Mic, a show where we give you a behind-the-mask coverage of the greatest sport on earth, whether it be happening right here in Buffalo or around the hockey world. Now, you might be thinking,
hey, Dwayne, why would I want to hear what you two idiots have to say about hockey?
Well, first of all, rude. Second of all, we bring in coaches, players, analysts from your favorite programs, from ESPN to Sportsnet to TSN. We're always on it. If you're a Sabres fan or just a hockey fan, you can download us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can check us out at TrainwreckSports.com or the Dean Blundell Podcasting Network. Thank you for your support, guys, and I'll hang up and listen.
Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of 5 podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.